This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Dan Jevons, GM of the Advanced Analytics Centre of Excellence at Royal Dutch Shell. Dan, hello.
Hello.
We're here at Inspire Europe, Alteryx's European conference. What do you hope to get out of the conference?
For me, it's three things. Actually, it's a great chance for my team to take some time out of the office. Got about 12 folks here. That's been great because we've got a chance to talk to each other about technology themes, new ideas, and often in an office setting, those conversations don't happen. So that's been great. Of course, we get a lot out of the roadmap sessions, understanding where the product is going. Alteryx is a key part of our data platform. We're very excited by the technology, and so understanding the direction is really key as part of our planning. The third thing is actually a real good opportunity to connect directly with some of the product managers, particularly those leading some of the newer products like Alteryx Connect. We've had some great discussions around things that we want to see in the product in the next little while.
You mentioned you use Alteryx. Where does that fit, and how does it add value within your strategy?
For us, Alteryx has been with us since about 2014. We initially purchased it as part of deploying advanced analytics workflows in production, because at that time there wasn't a great deal of opportunity to deploy things like open source R in an integrated fashion as part of a server-based workflow, as part of an integrated application. So that was where we started with it. In terms of how it's adding value now, two things. Firstly, the use has grown, so we see it very much becoming a self-service analytics and advanced analytics tool across our business. But the second thing, probably equally important, is some of the innovations that they're bringing into the platform, things like Alteryx Connect, are really very exciting for us because it allows new opportunities for data engineers, data scientists to understand where to get the various data sets from across a complex enterprise.
An early days, obviously, for Alteryx Promote, which they announced on stage earlier. Have you got any early thoughts or observations on that?
I think it looks really interesting. Like you say, it's early days. It's the obvious missing link from the platform. We've experimented heavily with the server. We've known this was a gap in their product set for some time and have been experimenting with ways of solving it ourselves. I do see a big opportunity to leverage that in the future, but it's early days. We're going to get on the beta program and try it out.
What are your main challenges within Royal Dutch Shell around analytics?
I was talking a little bit about this earlier. I think really it's a couple of things. So the first is we call it the human factor. I think most of the challenges are around the human factor, be that on the one hand people who are skeptical around analytics and the benefits it can bring, or I call them the enthusiasts, people who are perhaps overly enthusiastic about the potential of this for their business. As well as, of course, trying to get people to understand how they can envisage their business processes differently, because a lot of this is all about that. And so it's really that change management aspect. The data science is easy. The data's not easy, but we can do that. The change management piece is really where my biggest challenge is.
When people talk about humans, they often talk about the difficulty in recruiting data scientists, data analysts. You even mentioned on stage today you need to recruit some more people.
Absolutely.
How do you find them?
The perceived problem comes from is that often people with data skills come from one dimension or another. You have people who are in consultancies who understand how data relates to the business. Or you have people who are in deep data warehousing type technologies where they understand how databases work. Or you have people in the disciplines like statistics or mathematics or computational science who know how to write an algorithm. But rarely do you find that combination of somebody that can have a business conversation, can deal with data in whatever format it's in, and also develop the algorithm on top of it. So the way we're addressing this is trying to recruit people from those different backgrounds and use them to train a new generation of graduates who can actually cover off the full spectrum. That's not easy, but that's the plan. And it takes time. It absolutely does.
Imagine you're put in a room with someone who's just started an analytics practice, or been told that you've got to start an analytics practice because you're in that position yourself. You must have some really key learnings as part of that process. What would you suggest to them?
The main one for me is that it's very hard for a business, particularly a business like ours, where we've got a great and very proud history, to change quickly and to embrace some of these new approaches. What we've found is we need to be the catalyst for change as a team within the organization. Now, that's very hard if you're constantly trying to justify your existence in terms of project funding. So for us, we've had this very helpful mix of project funding and also R&D funding, where the business is paying us to run projects which deliver either value now or value in the near term. At the same time, we have the opportunity to innovate. And I think if we hadn't had that opportunity to try things that we felt were right, things like Alteryx wouldn't have happened.
You mentioned that earlier, but you talk about business wants things, short-term fixes. But I understand on stage you're talking about actually a five-year MPV. Is that an argument that's difficult in Shell? Because it certainly is in some organisations.
I talk about two metrics, but of the two, I'm very big on a five-year net present value for the way of assessing projects. I think we're lucky in Shell that actually it's a pretty standard term to plan over. And I think it's just the nature of our business. You are taking longer-term investments that yield longer-term benefits. And so people are more used to that mindset and that way of working. At the same time, I'm very keen with my team that we don't lose sight of the value we generate now. Because it's all very well promising great benefits over 5 years. But if you're not delivering anything year on year, then quickly people will come to challenge you. What we've tried to do is each year we measure our net present value that we put through our funnel, our innovation process, but we also measure the cash at the end of each year to say, did we justify our existence this year? Did we return enough money to the bottom line?
Can you give an example of a really quick win you've delivered, an example of maybe a 3+ year benefit?
The quick win, I talked about it earlier on in the session, but inventory optimization is a really good example of a quick win. That project we're talking about here, spare part inventory, initially for our URSA asset in the Gulf of Mexico. And we developed a proof of concept there that was initially rolled out to URSA and then to the broader Gulf of Mexico asset base, where we sought to optimize the level of spare part inventory that they held as safety stock to support the maintenance activities on the asset. And the algorithms we developed there were able to pay for themselves in about 4 weeks, and that's been a great cash generator. On the flip side, we also developed the algorithms to do the atmospheric monitoring above our carbon capture and storage plant, which is called Quest. That's a great project. Essentially, we're putting CO2 into the ground and capturing it to minimize the carbon impact on the environment of one of our assets. The monitoring of that is a prime example of a long-term net present value, because ultimately what that's doing is it's safeguarding government grants and our license to operate, but the immediate value is very hard to quantify of that particular solution.
You talked on stage about data velocity, data security and data ownership, and clearly they're three things that certainly resonated with me and I think resonate with you. Can you talk a little bit about those?
For us, they're some of the challenges that I feel I have to wrestle with on a daily basis to try and keep these things in balance. And what I mean with that is, firstly, data security is probably the biggest challenge that any analytics group faces. We're increasingly vulnerable, I think, generally, to attacks. We see that everywhere. We see other organizations hit. Thankfully, we have a very good cyber defense team who keep us safe. But it would be remiss of us as an analytics team if we weren't constantly aware of the security risks that generating new information creates. And also in particular with things like personally sensitive data, which is something we constantly have to watch out for. That's a huge problem and something which we continually wrestle with. We work very closely with our information risk function to make sure we're on top of that. The data velocity side of things, what I find is that a lot of the applications we deploy are interesting, not because people couldn't do the analysis before, but because we can do it quicker. And that has a fundamental impact on the way that we operate our business processes. And it's envisaging those new business processes that's the biggest challenge. And I've been involved in projects which have both succeeded and not succeeded. Ultimately, in linking back to my change management comments, a lot of the success or failure of the projects has very little to do with the technical prowess of the solution and much more to do with how ready the business are to re-envisage their business process. In terms of data ownership, one of the challenges for my team is we can develop any algorithm, but should we? Is it perhaps useful for us to generate an algorithm within HR division or our real estate division? Well, it might be, but we have to be careful. Are we differentiating ourselves in the right places? Are these things which are unique to Shell, which are Shell IP that we want to protect? Or actually, are we better looking to buy a market standard product off the shelf and use that instead? So we have to be more and more selective about where we invest our scarce data science resources.
So don't reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely.
Coming back to that data velocity, are you seeing new business opportunities because of the move to real-time data and real-time analytics?
For sure. I think there are lots and lots of new business opportunities. Specifically, I think in the customer domain, I see huge opportunities there where we can interact with our customers in very different ways at our retail sites, for example. But I also see big opportunities in our more traditional business. So in upstream, what does it mean for a maintenance technician where I can give them real-time information at the site of a piece of equipment that's failing, give them the full maintenance history, and predict when it's going to fail next. That's fantastic and completely changes the way they work.
You've got a complete stack which has got Azure and Windows, and it's got SAP HANA in, which is obviously quite core to show you signed a 5-year agreement. Then you've got Alteryx, and then you've got your data visualization tools at the top, which is HTML5, Spotfire, and Power BI. What's missing? If it's not something you haven't already got, what is it that you'd like to have? You mentioned that the promote from Alteryx filled one hole, but is there anything on the wish list?
There's two areas where we're investing quite a lot of time and energy to understand how do we develop our platform to support use cases, which are specifically machine vision and natural language processing. In the machine vision space, it's a very exciting technology for a very physical company like ours, because most of the data that we interact with is based on physical things. Now, if we can scrape that data from the real world environment rather than relying on people to document that, we're going to have phenomenal impact in terms of the efficiencies throughout our value chain. So that's very exciting, very much missing from our current stack, although we're doing a lot of work in that space. Similarly, natural language processing. We made an equity investment in a company called Mana a little while ago, who develop a knowledge graph capability. The associated natural language processing capabilities that go around that in tools like Python now is another area that we're really investing in, because much of our data is still based on documents. We're a 100-year-old company, and we've got a lot of reports written over many, many years. And many of them actually are still interesting and provide information about trend, even though the industry may have changed quite dramatically in that space. So those are the areas that we're really investing in.
You're talking about NLP. Shell's a multinational company, and I think English is the common language, but there must be multiple languages spoken within Shell, and certainly within your partners and clients, etc. Are you looking for natural language to do that auto-translation as well and bring that multiple languages in, or is that a step beyond where we are?
Firstly, for sure, we want to use natural language processing on our core English documentation, because most of our business is conducted in English, and there's just a huge opportunity to do that, and we're not doing enough of it. But I think to your point, I'm not necessarily seeing the use case for translation yet, but what I found fascinating about the knowledge graph capability specifically is the machine learning actually was not put off when we tried to run it in Dutch. That's purely because it's fundamentally about relating entities and concepts. And as long as you know the core concepts that you're looking for and you have some understanding of the vocabulary, you can actually run a lot of those sorts of capabilities regardless of the language framework. And so that was very interesting and a big learning for me.
Going back in history, we mentioned history goes in cycles. Shell were one of the pioneers of scenario planning, and I believe they've restarted that again in the last few years. How is your team fitting into that strategic scenario planning area?
Historically, we were very, very separate. We very much started with an operational focus. I talked about, when I came into this role, focusing on trying to replicate things that other industries had done successfully and demonstrate the value for us. And those are very obvious things in the customer domain, in the asset domain, around our trading businesses. There's a lot of obvious use cases for advanced analytics, and we hadn't done enough of that. I think for them, like you say, there's been a resurgence of that. You've seen some of that being published as well. Great work being done from our central strategy team, some really interesting research being generated. And underpinning that, actually, some work done by some members of my network who are advanced analytics professionals. And that's really the forum through which we try and bring these people together. So we're not trying to necessarily have my group get involved in all of that. What we are trying to do is help advanced analytics professionals that are already working in areas like scenario planning to take advantage of some of the tools and technologies that we now have available. And that's starting to happen. It's early days, but it's starting to happen.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.